This is Orson Welles speaking, and this is the radio program that gives you a radio if you give us a letter we can use. This being a program of opinion, we'd like yours as well as mine. We'll get to that in just a minute.
One of these days, you're going to want a fine modern radio set or combination radio phonograph. You'll want it to have all the latest developments in radio. You'll want it to have the name of a manufacturer that has earned a reputation for building good radios. This is why we want you to know about Lear Incorporated and Lear Radios. The name Lear has been on the finest types of radios since 1930. They are aircraft radios, and Lear has become known as the name men fly by. Now Lear is applying that experience in radio design and skill in manufacture to the building of home radios. And as you would expect, they are as fine, as dependable, as high in quality as Lear knows how to make them. They have all the newest developments. One is the Lear tape recorder, an astonishing new way to make recordings. I'll tell you more about that later. We're sure that when you see and hear a Lear radio, you'll say right away, that's the radio I want. Remember the name, Lear. L-E-A-R. And now back to Orson Welles.
It just happens I don't endorse things, not in paid advertisements, not for money or publicity or even for the fun of it. Because I'm a columnist, and it happens I'm a magazine editor, and because of this radio program, I'm anxious for you to know that my opinion isn't for sale. Therefore, you won't find me on the billboards looking happy about any brand of cigarette, nor has my unlovely likeness been associated with a blended whiskey or a soda pop. With that assurance, you can imagine, then, that it came as something of a shock to me this week to see my name large and black in a lot of big space ads, blurbing, plugging, and plumping for, of all things on Earth, a New York nightclub. Now, there are many things to be said for nightclubs in general and for nightclubs in particular, but I'm not the one to say them. Not so much, shall we say, as that I love nightclubs less, but that I love Earl Wilson more. For those among you who've never watched a floor show from behind a pillar and two busboys and in a howling draft, who've never been moved to pay $17 for a chicken sandwich, let it be known that few, very few nightclubs are truly comfortable or what you might call clubby places to spend a night. La Martinique, a well-publicized basement in the bowels of 57th Street, the nightclub with which my unauthorized recommendation has been recently associated, is not, if you ask me, one of the few exceptions to the rule just cited. Of course, you didn't ask me, but then the proprietors of Martinique didn't ask me either. When they started putting my name in their space ads, they asked for it. Well, the gist of the copy is a testimonial to a comedian by the name of Danny Thomas. And right here, I'm going to have to break down and confess that my case against the Martinique and its management is gravely weakened by my admiration for their good taste in hiring Danny Thomas. If I know such a thing when I see it, Danny Thomas is an artist, the authentic article. I've been watching Danny grow as an artist since he first presented himself in a tiny boîte in Chicago to that cut-rate clientele which keeps Rush Street fever-flushed with neon after most decent folk have turned out their lights. Danny was pretty good then. He's pretty great now. I've heard him on the radio as Fanny Bryce's postman. You have too. A month ago, I watched him stop the show at the Shaperie, and we've played more Army and Navy camps together than we can count. In the idiom of vaudeville, and speaking for the moment as one of his fellow entertainers who shared the bill with him, I can tell you that Mr. Thomas is well-nigh impossible to follow. And variety, there are two varieties of funny men. There are the gag slingers, and there are the clowns. I like the clowns. The gag slingers I loathe. Joe E. Lewis, Bill Fields, and Jimmy Durante make me feel good all over. They have, I'm sure, lengthened my life. The snappy dressers who tell jokes for their living, and it's a very good living, only serve to remind me of the old wheeze on the sundial. Yes, when the cuff shooter with a diamond ring informs me that a funny thing happened to him on the way to the theater, I think only of the ultimate joke, the gag older and grimmer than any of his. The one that goes, it is later than you think. For me, it's never too late for the clowns, and it never will be. In a troubled world or in a brave new one, there'll always be time for people like Joe and Jimmy and Bill, time for what Bert Williams was, for what Chaplin was, and for what Danny Thomas can be. Now, Danny, like the other Danny, the incomparable K, is one of the deliberate buffoons. Like Danny Kaye, Danny Thomas is a clown by intention, not by birth. He isn't funny. He has the handicap of having to be funny by trying. But without trying very hard, Danny Thomas is very funny indeed. He has the rare attribute of sincerity and that most priceless thing, a sense of beauty. So look what's happened. The Martinique's publicity man who got me all riled up by publicizing my name to an endorsement I never wrote gets 3 minutes from me on the radio coast to coast and all for free. Yes, I'm very much afraid that until Danny Thomas gets his own radio show and makes a movie, those among you who go to nightclubs at all and get to New York at all this year are going to have to go to Martinique. But while you're there, don't sign anything without reading the fine print through a microscope. And don't laugh too loudly, or you may end up in a quarter page of a Hearst newspaper. Washington, D.C. Startling evidence has come before the eyes of certain key figures that the growing pro-German, anti-Russian, anti-British propaganda in this country can be traced to the agents of the old Nazi firm of I.J. Farben. Several U.S. senators now advocate that we should stop policing Germany. Senator Wherry wants to start mail service to Germany so that Germans' friends in this country can send them food packages. Ladies and gentlemen, his resolution to this effect bore the signatures of 34 United States senators. Of course, the senators have been pretty occupied of late. You may remember the bill to establish a permanent Fair Employment Practices Committee, a bill prohibiting discrimination by employers or labor unions because of race, creed, color, or national origin. Well, there isn't going to be any such thing. The senators decided against it. Not all the senators, mind you. Not even a majority of the senators. Just a noisy little club of claghorns. They kept talking about something else until their colleagues got so tired of the sound of their voices, that is, that the whole thing was dropped. That's a joke, son. A very sour joke. Claude Pepper called me up from Washington the other day. He didn't like what I had to say about him last week on the radio. I didn't like saying it. But the senator from Florida is a fully accredited progressive, and he sounded awful like an old-line Southern Democrat when he spoke out against the FEPC. Claude assured me he was against the filibuster, and I told him I'd say so on this program. Claude Pepper was against the filibuster. There, I said it. But Claude Pepper was also against a bill designed to end discrimination. If he wants to say why he was against it, I'd be more than glad to report that. And I hereby extend him the privileges of this program. Senator Pepper had a fine record up to now, and it would be a privilege to help keep that record straight. Well, today's radio goes to Rosemary and Richard Robinson, who live in Passagrill, Florida. They get a five-tube table model made by the Lear people for this letter, which I'm going to read you now, dear Mr. Wells. We are sick to death of men of patent habits, puny, mean, with self-interest, which in fact is never truly self-interest, for we must certainly have learned by now our own good is a boomerang, going out and coming back, encircling all men, including their lifetime, their hunger, their weakness, their ignorance. It is time to behave as we pretend we are, generously, with compassion for all mankind, and in the interest of all the people. It is time to make war on evil here at home, to unseat the average, the social, political, manager man who is bought with bribes or threats, the sing-song of whiskey, the silky women. It is cheap. Let us feel our disgust. Let us fire volleys of criticism and demand on them. Let us seek men of quality, integrity. Then let them feel the heat of our hope and hear the furious wish in our souls for truth. In reading last evening, we found this poetry by Joseph Auslander, which was new to us. It seems quite able to speak for itself. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is the poem. Abraham Lincoln was 10 feet tall. He would straddle the mountains in one stride. The shout of the wind and waterfall would pound at his heart and open it wide.
Abraham Lincoln was wilderness bred. The cliff and the cloud went into his bone. There were blood and tears in the words he said. He wept for the world, and he wept alone. Abraham Lincoln wore a stovepipe hat that brushed the stars down where he walked. His eyes were terrible to look at. His eyes were black pools when he talked. Abraham Lincoln was Judah's lion. In anger, in gentleness, Judah's lamb. When he bared his breast to the Lord of Zion, that breast was the breast of Abraham. Abraham Lincoln dropped drops of blood in every battle, in every death. He stood with a sentry in sleet and mud, and the soldier gasped with Abraham's breath. O heart of anguish, now when our need of pity and peace in a dangerous hour grows desperate, now when the gospel of greed begets the crimson gospel of power, now when the cynic corrupts the soul and the bench is bought and we laugh at laws and we barter the gold of the aureole and kill the god and betray the cause, O human heart, give us faith and fire. Help us believe, though against the fashion, to lift the world to your heart's desire, to heal the world with your heart's compassion. And now your attention, please, for an interesting announcement.
For just a moment, let me give you a few more details about Lear radios, especially about the new Lear method of recording. This recording is done on tape. It's like the wire recorder, but has many additional advantages. Tape costs less, and as Lear has developed it, the tape does not have to be rewound. As soon as you've made the recording, it may be played back immediately. Tape recording, like wire recording, can be replayed for a lifetime. Yet anything you don't want to keep is wiped off the tape just by recording something else. This sound on tape is just one of the developments you will find in Lear radios. Some have television, some shortwave, FM, and an entirely unique tuning control that lets you choose any station on the dial and adjust the volume without leaving your easy chair across the room. As to price, the finest radio phonograph console combination with television and everything costs about $500. At the other end of the line, there's a good-looking, capable table model at $19.95. Watch for Lear radios at your dealers. When you see them and hear them, you'll agree that you get the most in a radio made by Lear. L-E-A-R. Now back to Orson Welles, whose views and opinions are his own and do not necessarily represent the views of Lear Incorporated.
I've just received a copy of the most startling order issued by any brass hat since VJ Day. This comes from the commanding general at Fort Banks in the harbor defense area of Boston. It was issued on January 18, 1946, preparatory to a formal inspection the general made that day, and I quote, "At all formal inspections by the Harbor Defense Commander or his representative of installation, including offices, shops, etc., all personnel, including civilian employees, will cease work and stand at attention during the inspection." Unquote. This is the first known effort of the Army to apply military discipline to civilians in our days of peace. Let it be the last. Well, friends, I see my time's up. Thanks for letting me come to call. Please join me next time. Till then, speaking for my sponsors, the makers of Lear Radio, I remain, as always, obediently yours.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.